moments before Matan Torah, Sukkim say, "Ve'ato im shomaya tishmu bekoili, shomu es brisi, v'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh, ki li kol ha'oretz. Tihiyu li am segula mikol ha'amim, mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh." The Beis Halevi explains that the expression "v'shomu es brisi" is a comparison to the dinim of truma and hekdesh. Both truma and hekdesh require shmira. You can't take it for granted that they are tohor. If there is any hesach hadas at all, so you must assume that they are posel. They are not in a matzah with kedusha, or the truma is psula. There was a hesach hadas. Similarly, says the Beis Halevi, as we find by truma, we find an expression of mishmeres hatruma, guarding the truma. Similarly, shomer lechoyes hadavar hazeh. Torah also has a shmira. You can't assume that the Torah itself is always in a perfect situation. It needs, as they say, tender loving care. It needs protection. It needs care. Torah is like truma and hekdesh, says the Beis Halevi. With a moment's hesach hadas, the Torah can lose its potency. It loses its strength. It can have a kilkul, just like a hesach hadas on hekdesh and truma. Perhaps that's the reason why the Ramah introduces the Shulchan Aruch and says, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid." That's a maila of the tzaddikim, klal gadol batoyla, meaning that they're always mindful of Shivisi Hashem in their application to Toyla. Perhaps this concept of shmira by Torah also explains the concept of kosher liknoison kiklei zohov v'noyach la'abdom kiklei zchuchis. Torah is not a tidbit. Torah is not a pastime or just a pastime which you happen to look at. Torah needs tremendous care. It's kosher liknoison kiklei zohov. And you can lose it in a moment. It's not Torah, it's something else. We must ask ourselves, perhaps that's the reason why these psukim are written moments before the Aseres HaDibros. In order to become an Am Segula Mikol HaAmim, you need Shmira on the Torah. You can't take it for granted that your Torah is pure. It needs care from a Hesach Hadas. Based on that formula, the Beis Halevi brings down from the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, when the famous question was asked, "Mi oish hechochom v'yoven ezois?" Who on earth would understand and can comprehend why there was a chuvun? Ashedi bepi Hashem elov. V'yagidu al ma avdo ha'oretz. Why on earth was there a chuvan ha'mikdosh? The Gemara in the Dorim, Pei Aleph, where the Chachomim did not know, the Nevi'im, no one knew. Why was there a chuvan ha'mikdosh? Nitzasol kamidbor mibli oiver. And they were cast out into the midbor without any protection, without any care. No one knew. And the only one who could reveal it was Ribbono Shel Olam, Vayomer Hashem. The reason why for those achuban is because you left the Torah, asher nasati lifneihem. V'lo shomu b'koili, the same words recur. Im tishmu b'koili, v'lo shomu b'koili. V'lo holochu bo, and you didn't go in the ways of the Torah. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can peek into the yetzer hara of a person and be able to analyze and diagnose that the reason for the Churban was But they learned Torah. Yes, they learned Torah, but there wasn't the care. There wasn't the protection. There wasn't the scrutiny. There was a hesach hadas. And if there's a hesach hadas, then it's not really Torah. It's something else. It's like a secular study. It doesn't have the purity to it. They were not shomer es habris, like the Beis Halevi explains by Truma and Hekdesh. Torah needs superb care. You can't take it for granted if you open a Gemara, but straight away you're online with the purity and the Torah of Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who could say, in your Yetzer Hara, al ozom es Torosi, you left my Torah. It wasn't the way I intended it to be. Below Holchuva, and you didn't go in the ways of the Torah. An awful expression. No one could answer. No one could say. But there was a hesach hadas. There was a lack of shmirah. Apparently, every single generation has that nisoyon. Since Matan Torah, to ensure that the Torah that is kept and the Torah that we learn is as pure as Truma and Hekdesh. Eighty years ago was an awful nisoyon about Ozvam Es Toirosi. After the patira of Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they found in his drawer 141 pages written in longhand, in his own handwriting, one side only. The handwriting as crystal clear as his logic. His history was dead on accurate. The year was 1960. To Americans, World War II was ancient history and the American dream was in full swing of Gashmius in bloom. He never printed his writings. I asked one of his Talmidei Chachomim, one of his Talmid Mufik, why did he never print it? And they says in the book here also, he was scared maybe. People would get insulted, people would get hurt. Maybe it was too sensitive to print. But on Leil Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor, and looking back 80 years, perhaps we can understand what it means by a hesach hadas in Torah. Al ozvam es toirosi v'lo holchu bo. A few of his conclusions at the end, it's something which is the most awful of reports. He saw it all, and he diagnosed it all, and he had a full understanding of what was happening, and he called it a divine madness. This is what he wrote about 80 years ago. The insane and entirely causeless hatred against Israel was nothing less than a divine madness. It was God's open demonstration against assimilation, whether physical or mental, and the demonstration was so clear that only the most blind could ignore it. The decrees of Nazi Germany were aimed at separating Jews from Gentiles in every possible manner. There would be no social contact, no business contact, no contact in schools, housing, travel, resorts, shopping. There would be no personal identity. The insistence on Jewish names, a remarkable sign from heaven against the use of Gentile names. The badge on Jewish garments, an unwelcome reminder to appear Jewish, and similar decrees that had the same purpose. Never before had there been so much assimilation, and therefore, to counter it, came a hatred never before equaled. In Russia and Poland, the most powerful influence was the proletarian ideals of Karl Marx, which sought to erase every form of distinction between Israel and the nations. These are some of his conclusions. Many Jews had lost sight of the immense superiority of the genuine Jew over the nations. The person who edited these writings of Rav Miller explained, what does it mean, the superiority? The Jewish is superior in a critical area, direct relationship with and closeness by the creator of the universe. A bold claim, a true claim, which the world and many Jews themselves may or may not choose to recognize. The national task commanded upon the children of Israel, bringing divine law to the world, requires fidelity to God's express commandments and incorporates a dedication to kindliness, morality, and education. It is those traits that bestow a superiority. Said Rabbi Avigdor, many had so forgotten history that they had become to regard the Gentiles as models of benevolence and goodwill. And very many believed that Western civilization was the answer to all problems. They had fallen into the error of admiring the superficial manners of the masters of the land, their efficiency, their punctuality, and similar qualities. When the Germans showed themselves to be the most efficient of mass murderers, with their punctual schedule of extermination that enabled the death factories to transform 20,000 people in one day into ashes, and when the inhuman devils tortured their victims with numerous forms of horrible suffering and the worst degradation before killing them, the Jews learned a lesson of the highest value. The German scientists and physicians who had so greatly been admired now revealed themselves as demons from a terrible netherworld. From Berlin came forth the reform, the Haskalah and the assimilation that blighted Judaism in Europe. And from Berlin came the great catastrophe that destroyed the Jews. Jews without God and Torah cannot exist. Al Osram es Toirosi, Ulai Holchuvo. This was the parable of Rabbi Akiva when the fox urged the fish to come out of the water, and the fish replied that they would perish if they forsook the water. The 150 years since Moses Mendelssohn's time had wrought havoc upon the Jewish masses. Very many despised Judaism and were poisoned by a hatred that could not be overcome by persuasion. It was impossible to influence the children of the irreligious to enter a Torah school. The parties of the nationalists, the Bundists, and the Yiddishists had so hardened that they were cut off from hope of return. Al Osram es Toirosi. The Gehinnom, which was almost entirely forgotten from men's minds in Germany, was suddenly brought into this world for all to see, said Rabbi Yerucham. The terrible suffering, the fires of the crematories, the pyres of burning bodies, the screams of the dying, and the satanic hatred of the German demons all gave a vivid portrayal of Gehinnom never before seen on earth. That is the way, a little bit, how Rabbi Victor Miller saw Al Osram es Toirosi v'lo Holchu Bo, the enormous assimilation. It's only for Tisha B'Av such reports. The rest of the time, we have to carry on and build our own lives and control and care for our own generation. The question is, where do we come under the banner of Shmira like Truma and Kedusha? How far are we dedicated Al Osram es Toirosi v'lo Holchu Bo? After the last Siyam Hashas, Rav Matisol Salomon, Shiye Bari, once explained that in our times there has been a renaissance in Torah. Everybody learns Torah. On the Loshon and the Mishnah, Al Shlosha Dvorim Ha'olam Oimei, Al HaTorah V'Al HaVoida V'Al Gemilas Chasodim, says Rabbeinu Yoina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipates the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael in Torah, Avoida, and Gemilas Chasodim. Said Rav Matisyo, but it seems from the Siyam Hashas and the enormous dedication that people have to get up early and to stay in the Beis HaMedrash and to learn Torah, said Rav Matisyo, perhaps we're not under the gedder of Al Osram es Toirosi. Perhaps we're not, because there's been a change. We've taken on Torah as a major project in many, many ways. A Moicha Svoim once said to me that every single day a new sefer appears on the shelves. The Chadorim are full. There's no room in the Mir Yeshiva. There's no room in Lakewood. There's no room in Philadelphia. All these yeshivas are packed. To call and claim against our generation, I don't know, said Rav Matisyo, and these are his words from the Einei Ho'eidah. I don't know if we can say that we are Al Osram in our times. No, we repaired that breach. But perhaps, La'anias Daiti, it's the end of what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, which perhaps, Lo Aleinu Chas V'Shalom, can be leveled against us. V'lo Holuchu Vo. Yirmiyahu said two things. Al Osram es Toirosi, V'lo Holuchu Vo. It means, in simple terminology, perhaps, sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, we should consider our aspirations, our values, our hopes for the future based on Torah, or are they American? Are they English? Are they European? Are they secular? We learn Torah, but could it be leveled against us that perhaps we're not exactly beholchuba, like Avraham Avinu, his halechulafanai, veyesomim. Are our aspirations exactly online? And that, perhaps, sitting on the floor, an ovel is misboinein. The nature of avelus is to think again and think deeper. Are we so dedicated in our values to Torah? We learn Torah, and we pursue the Daf Hayomi, and we go as much as we can, but perhaps our values and our aspirations are not exactly the way they should be. How do we correct that profile on Leil Tisha B'Av? I would like to suggest a remedy. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban as to why the wife of Lot turned into a pillar of salt. Rashi says because she never gave salt to the guests. The Ramban is choylik, and the Ramban says she turned around and in her heart she lingered after her family in Sodom and Amorah. Says the Ramban, machshava is dveikus. The weather that day in Sodom and Amorah was Gofris v'melach. So she turned into melach because she lingered in her mind for Sodom and Amorah, says the Ramban, and that's the reason why. Because machshava is dveikus. When a person thinks about something a great deal and it means a lot to the person in values, in aspirations, in expectations, you're there. You're in that spot. Even though Eishes Lot could have been kilometers away, it didn't matter. In her mind, she was there, and machshava is dveikus. If that's the case, look carefully at what happens with us three times a day. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Bekumo lispalel, when one gets up to daven, im haya oimed b'chutz la'oretz, yachzir ponov keneged Eretz Yisrael. Face Eretz Yisrael. V'yechavein v'yushalayim v'lamikdosh u'lebeis kodshei ha'kodoshim. Haya oimed b'Eretz Yisrael, yachzir ponov keneged Yushalayim. Face Yushalayim. V'yechavein gam l'mikdosh u'lebeis kodshei ha'kodoshim. When you daven, in your mind, you're in the base kodesh ha'kodoshim. Haya oimed v'yushalayim, yachzir ponov l'mikdosh. V'yechavein gam ke in the base Kodshei HaKadoshim, says the Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, Shenema v'ispalelu derech ha'artzon, Vayitzei Elohima yechavin libay afobi she'i efshar lahakzir ponov kenegdom, but think in your mind as if you are there. Vayitzei Elohima she'yachshod b'libo ho'ay oimoy ki'ilu hu oimeid v'mikdosh asher b'Yerushalayim v'mokim kodesh ha'kadoshim. These are not poetic words. Chofetz Chaim is not telling us about hallucinating. He's telling us in reality that when you stand and pray, it's as if you're there. If by an oinesh, by eishes loit, then machshava was dveikus and she turned into a pillar of salt. Mida toiva is mavuba mi midaro. So avada and avada, a person who stands and davens and his mind is, according to Rav Chaim Baloshin in Nefesh HaChaim, it's not just the kruvim, it's the kruvim. It's ani ledoidi vedoidi li. And therefore when you daven, you're there. You're in Yerushalayim. You're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If that's the case, then perhaps we can bring an example from what they say in Brisk. In Brisk, they say there are two types of Briska Talmidim. There's someone called a Giborana. That's probably from the family Soloveitchik, Feinstein. They're Giborana Briskers. They're born into Brisk. There are other people who come and learn, by Rav Avraham Yehoshua, by Rav David, and those people are called Giborana Briskers. They became Briskers. They're not born into it. But because they take on Brisk and the Chumus of Brisk, Er is given a Givorana Briska. He becomes a Briska. Pashtus, you can have a person who's born and bred in Flatbush and never leaves Brooklyn. You can have a person who spends his whole life in Florida or never moves from Golders Green in London, but in reality, they're Givorna Yerushalmis. Because when they come to Daven, they're there in the Mokam HaMikdosh. You don't necessarily have to be there, but there's something called a Givorna Yerushalmi. Through mind, through thought, through application, using the Ramban's analysis, Machshava is Dveikus. And therefore, when Yirmiyahu said, Lo holchuba means in values and aspirations, but you can change your personal profile. You can become a Yerushalmi by thinking when you're davening, you're there. The Prophet says quite clearly, Ki lo oimei b'mokam ha-mikdosh. Perhaps there's a raya from the Sholosh Regalim. The Netziv mentions that each one of the Yomim Tovim has an expression of Atzeres. Even by Pesach it says, Lo sasu komalofa Atzeres yilachem. Shavu say maladabesh, mini Atzeres. Says the Netziv, the meaning of Atzeres is, Atzeres means stop there. Wait. Don't leave Yerushalayim immediately. Think of what you had in the time that you're there by Oilei Regel, and don't go home until you've acquired something to take back with you from Yerushalayim. Surely Rabbi Isai, don't take 3 steps back in Shemone Esrei until you thought where you were, and then move back, because you acquired something by being a virtual Kohen Gadol. You were there. According to the Chafetz Chaim, you're inside. As Givena, Givorana Yerushalmi. You became a Yerushalmi by your tefillah. And therefore you change your whole value system. Maybe that's the profile which we should think of sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av. To become a Yerushalmi. Look carefully, therefore, again at the Perek, which describes the whole pain of Golus Bavel. Think of it like this. Al Naras Bovel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu, Bezochreinu Eszioin. Why were they crying? Much more beautiful than Monsi, far more beautiful than Golders Green, much more beautiful than Hollywood or anywhere in California. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon is supposed to be one of the most beautiful places in the world. Why were they crying? Bezochreinu Eszioin. But what did they remember? They remembered the sights like a tourist? No. It wasn't as simple and as careless as just remembering the sights of Simchas Beis HaShoreva. The memory of Yerushalayim, of Bezochreinu Eszioin, comes out in 3 specific areas. Im Eshkachich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yamini is in Machshava. Tidbak L'shoini L'chiki is in speech. Im Lo'ales Yerushalayim is in action. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. Bezochreinu Eszioin. When they sat in by Babylon and they cried because they were in a beautiful area, a magnificent area in nature. But Bezochreinu Eszioin, Im Ishkoch, I can't forget Yerushalayim in my thoughts, in my speech, and my action. They became Givorana Yerushalmi. They were Yerushalmis. They were there. And therefore, that's the antidote to Lo Holchu Bo. Not just to think about the scenes of Yerushalayim, but to move it from the mind into the neshama, and it becomes almost an acquisition in a personal profile. A Givorana Yerushalmi. I'd like to bring examples. When you and I, when we go up to Yerushalayim, you always climb. You always go higher and higher, says the Pasuk, Yerushalayim horim soviv lo, v'Hashem soviv le'amoy. Said Diana Bramsky, what's the connection between Yerushalayim horim soviv lo, v'Hashem soviv le'amoy? Just as the mountains are so close, so is Hashem so close. When he lived in Beit Began, he said, the reason why the mountains are so close, that's what David HaMelech meant. The proximity of the Shekhinah is so close when you're in Yerushalayim. You're there. You're in the scene. As you enter into Yerushalayim today, you go into Yerushalayim and you're faced with the most remarkable bridge. The Geshem Meitarim is in the shape of a harp, because you just came into Ir David. And there are cables, many cables, which lead up to a main spire. And it directs your attention to the top, to the light. It's telling you something, that when you come to Yerushalayim, you came to the place where heaven meets earth. You came to a place of Ruchnius. A Yerushalmi, on coming into Yerushalayim, is prompted to think to themselves through the cables that they're each different ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Rina, there's Bakosha, maybe there's Tchina, maybe there's Tshuva, maybe there's just simple recognition. Yerushalayim is not like London or Paris. Yerushalayim is a place where all the prayers come to. It's a place of tremendous Kedusha. That's why the harp is there. That's why the spire is there. And the cables mean to find another way to connect. To think of yourself as a Yerushalmi, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any one of the cables, any different way that you can find to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way a Yerushalmi thinks. When you walk around Yerushalayim, when you go by bus and you travel around, there are enormous numbers of people in Yerushalayim. Many, many different types of people there. The crowds. But above all, you see many, many children. I used to take the bus from the Mir Yeshiva back to Har Nof, and you see all thousands of children, Givat Shol and Shmuel HaNovi. The place is surrounded, Kanai Nahor, by children. A Givorana Yerushalmi in Yerushalayim looks at the children and does what's called glances, recalls, and focuses. You look at the children, and you must recall the Gemara in Bava Basra, when Yehoshua ben Gamla organized that all the children should come to Yerushalayim, ki mitzian teitzei toivu. Say a prayer for these children. Think that they should find their way a derech, and not yored min a derech. Think of all the children and all the numbers of generations and families which will grow up. That's a Givorana Yerushalmi, the care of children in Yerushalayim. And you see so many of them. One of the prophets, the greatest Yerushalmis, a Givorana that we had, was Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He lived in Bnei Brak, but according to the criteria of the Chofetz Chaim in standing in the Kodesh Kedoshim, he was a Givorana Yerushalmi. There was a Bocha in Bnei Brak who yarad min haderech legamrei. He went to live with an irreligious relative and decided to marry a non-Jewish woman in Tel Aviv. His irreligious relative said to him, listen, if you're going to go that far, then maybe you should spend a Shabbos, at least go back to your parents and tell them what you're doing. He agreed. He called up the family and said, I'd like to come for a Shabbos on my terms. Meaning, I smoke, I use my iPhone, I do whatever I want. Allow me to come in, I'm going to spend one Shabbos. The family said, of course, come in. On Shabbos morning, the father turned around and said to the son, I'm going to a shir, would you like to come with? He said, who's giving the shir? Father said, Rav Steinman. He said, I'll come along. The father was shocked. He came to the shir, and after the shir, the father took the boy over to the Rav Steinman, and in with half a second, Rav Steinman realized what was going on. He turned around and said to the boy, to the bocher, tell me, how long is it since you've been yorad min haderech legamrei? Said the boy, I think he said 2 years. He asked him, in that time period, did you ever have any hirhurei tshuva, that maybe you were doing the wrong thing? He said, yes, I did. 4 times, each one was about 10 minutes. Said Rav Steinman, it's
unbelievable. B'mokom shebali tshuva oimdim, ein sadi gomo oimeg. I'm mekaneh you for your, at least you had rehui tshuva. That's all he said to him. They came home, and the boy turned around and said to his parents, I've decided not to marry the woman. I'm coming back to Torah mitzvahs. They asked him, what made the change? He said, because when I heard that you were going to a shiur of Rav Shteinman, I remember what happened to me when I was in Cheder, in Kitta Dalet. We went to Rav Shteinman for a test. And he went round and asked each person a question, and when he came to me, I didn't know the answer. So he asked me a second question, and I didn't know the answer. And he asked me three questions, I did not know the answer. To each child who answered correctly, Rav Shteinman gave a candy, gave a bar, a chocolate. Afterwards, he called me over and said, everybody only got one bar of chocolate. You get three. Because Torah is not dependent on getting the right answer. You've tried three times. Because of your efforts, I'm going to give you three candies and not one. He said, I remember that idud from Rav Shteinman. And it shook me when he told me that I was a potential Baal Tshuva. The care, when you see in Yerushalayim children, that's changing your derech. Look at children and pray for them and encourage them and build them. A Givoren or Yerushalmi is greatly disturbed by the priests in Yerushalayim. And it's very painful. The Novi Yeshaya describes it in awful detail. Exactly what happened. Hayomer Hashem, Yan ki govu benois tzion vateilachna netuois goroin. They went and lifted their heads up in great pride, the girls. Umesakrois einoim, and they painted their eyes. Holoich v'tofuch teilachna, and they like floated along looking for attention, attraction. Uvaglehem teakasna, they had perfume in their shoes. The Sipach Adonai Kodkoi Benoi Sion Ba'Hashem Posan Yo'ora, and Hashem sent them into immorality. When a Yerushalmi sees priestess in Yerushalayim, he's reminded that that was the cause. When the Gemara says, Gilu Arayas Shvichas Domi Ba'Avodah Zorah, says the Gemara in Yuma, Gilu Arayas was priestess. To be disturbed, at least to be disturbed from the way people dress in Yerushalayim. It's not the Champs-Élysées. It's not Hollywood, it's not Manhattan, it's Yerushalayim. It's unlikely that one can say anything to someone who's not dressed properly, but at least to feel the pain and the kedusha of Yerushalayim. A Gevoron, a Yerushalmi, feels the pain of the princess. Inevitably, you go to the Kosel. And when you wander around and stand at the Kosel, you must remember the Loshen of Hineze Oimed Acha Kosleinu. Mashkiach min achaloinois, says the Meforshim, Acha Kosleinu is a remes for the Kosel Ma'arovi. And the Shechina stands right behind the wall, said the Alshich, and that's the reason why it said when we just read in Eicha, Hoyasa ke'almona, not almona, ke'almona. She's like a widow, but in reality the Shechina is right there behind. And therefore standing at the Kosel and davening as we do, a Givoren or Yerushalmi remembers and recalls the nisim that happened on Har HaBayis. The Chaim Volozhin brings down in Nefesh HaChaim, in Ruach Chaim, that each one of the nisim which occurred jolts a person to remember the derech in Torah and Avodah. Never did the rain ever put out the korbonos. It poured with rain on Har HaBayis, but it never put out the fire. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin to teach you, Gashmias, Geshem, rain, never ever should put out any fire that you have in Ruchnias, the Eish on the Mizbeach. And similarly the wind. Never ever did the bosor go bad. No, hisriach ha-bosor, even though there were enormous number of pieces of meat, because masriach is miloshen tuma from chet, says Reb Chaim, and therefore it's a sign to show you that if you deal with purity and you deal with tara, you retain the kedusha. Oindim tzfufim u'mishtachavim revochim. The nes, when you stand at the Kosel, to remember that when you stood at the Kosel, you stood at the Azorah, says the Baal Tanur, you were floating in the air. You were so high up. But when you were mishtacha there, there was room for everybody. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, the reason for that nace was that when you stand with all your pride and you stand up straight, there's no room. But when you bow down and you're machniah yourself, there's room for everybody. Hachnor is the essence. Once you're machniah with anova, there's room for everybody. Af pam, no one ever said, with the thousands, with the millions of people who came for Olei Regel, no one ever said in Yerushalayim, Tzali Amokam She'odav Yerushalayim, meaning no one ever felt that someone was injuring them or taking their place or taking their parnosa. No one ever said that. These are the thoughts of a Givorana Yerushalmi. The shuls, the yeshivas. When you go into Yerushalayim, you must think of V'lo Holchu Bo. My aspirations should be like a Yerushalmi. Inevitably, there is, La'aniyas Daiti, a certain mood and character of Yerushalmi that I have noticed. Their respect for any type of person, because after all, it was always Ir HaBosi Om. In Yerushalayim, there were always many types of people there. The practicality and the encouragement which people give in Yerushalayim. Anybody who went in to speak ever to Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's true, he wasn't the Etzem a Givorana Yerushalmi, he was a Givorana Yerushalmi. He became a Yerushalmi through his tefillah, through his Torah, and the encouragement and the enthusiasm which he used to give. I used to go when my wife was expecting a child to Rebbe Foyal Levin. It was a kameya of a Chaim Volozhin which we used to use. And his encouragement and enthusiasm, that's a Yerushalmi. The magnificent stories they tell of Chaim Shmulevitz sitting in the bunker, sitting in the air raid shelter during the 6-day war. And everybody was crying out, Shema Yisrael, Mirvan Shalom, help us. And then Chaim turned around and said, you think because of your prayers and the bombs were falling from the Judean artillery and it was extremely dangerous. And the Mir Yeshiva was hit a few times. The Chaim then suddenly turned around and said afterwards, I'll tell you why you were saved. Because sitting next to me was an aguna. And I heard what she said. This lady had a tremendously hard life. She became a washerwoman. She looked and washed after everybody's clothing. She had tremendous grievances. Said Reb Chaim, I heard her call out and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I forgive, then you should forgive and spare and save us all. Said Reb Chaim, that's the reason why. The care, the interest, the sensitivity. A Givorana Yerushalmi feels for somebody else and recognizes their pain and their difficulty. When I first came into the Mir, they told me this story of Reb Chaim. A Talmid who became a Chosen, after a few weeks of getting married, Reb Chaim would turn around to the Chosen and say, I'd like to come to your house just to visit. It was expected. Reb Chaim arrived at the house on Friday night, and he sat at the table, and he took the Chosen on one side and the Kala on the other side. He then turned around and turned around to the Chosin and said, Efshe, Tzugi Greta Dvar Torah, maybe you have something to say at Dvar Torah. He's been working on it for the last 5 weeks. He knows what's coming. He prepared the Dvar Torah. He had something to say. Instantly, always the same, Reb Chaim turned around and said to the Kala, tell me, what did you do in your life to deserve such a Talmid Chacham, the Chosin? He then turned around and said to the Kala, maybe a little designers, we can eat something together and make a bracha together. The Kala brought out a piece of cake. He tasted the piece of cake and then turned around to the Chosin and said, and tell me, what did you do in your life to deserve such a balabosta as this Kala? A Zah Maisa of encouragement, of sensitivity, of the Chosin and the Kala finding their way in life. The care, the interest, the devotion. That's perhaps where we have to pick up on Tisha B'Av, on the Lehol Chuvo, to become a Yerushalmi in behavior, in sensitivity. There was a widow who lived next to the Mir Yeshiva. Her name was Esther Segel, Aleha Sholem. We used to go and take her clothing or money, tzedakah. We once stood with her, she was never a widow, very early with 9 children, and brought them all up by herself. and we talked about our children and bringing them up and finding the right chinuch. And every time we made any point of perhaps a gripe and things were hard, she would turn around and say to us, "Nein, bei mir das ist ein leichter Sache. It's an easy thing." And every time she always would say, "It's a leichter Sache, it's nothing at all." Marrying off children, she said, "No, leichter Sache." And in the end, it almost became like a careless comment. She kept on saying, "Nein, it's gar nicht, it's gar nicht." And then eventually she turned around and said to us, "I'll tell you why it's gar nicht. Weil ich hab a reiche Tata. I have a rich father." I remember looking at my wife and saying, "Well, lucky lady, you have a rich father." And then the twinkle in her eye was like a beautiful veneer on a furniture. I also have the same reiche Tata. Rebbetzin Segel didn't have to look at the Geshe Meitarim and realize she was connected with Borei Olam. She had that connection, a Givorana Yerushalmi. And they're all like that. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim, but you pick up the message from the Kodesh Kodoshim of the values of Yerushalayim, of the sensitivity of Yerushalayim. And that's perhaps the profile which we need to adjust to on Tisha B'Av. Al Ozva Mes Toirosi, Pashtus Ulai, perhaps, we are dedicated to Torah. In the sensitivity of a Yerushalmi, of how you should behave. A businessman once came to Rav Yosef Duna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in London, and said to him that he was going to spend Yom Tov in Yerushalayim. And Rav Duna opened up a Sefer Tehillim and said to him, "Don't forget these words, Yevorechecha Hashem Mitzion Urei Betuv Yerushalayim Kol Yemei Chayecha." Said Rav Duna to the businessman, "Please remember when you go there, Urei Betuv Yerushalayim. See the good, don't see the bad. Don't look at the bad. Yevorechecha Hashem Mitzion, when you see the good in Yerushalayim. There is Pritzus, there is Machloikis." Those are from Erev Rav. The Gaon says in Eben Shlema, the Bali Amalekim, that's not the Makor. On Tisha B'Av, the formula must be a formula of a Givorana Yerushalmi with all the goodskite behind it, with all the sensitivity behind it. It comes from the Kodesh Kodoshim. You pick it up, because Machshava is Dveikus, like the Ramban said. And because of that, the whole profile changes. You can be in Brooklyn, you can be in Florida, but you become a Yerushalmi, because you pick up the vibes of the sensitivity of the people, of the children, of the Kvarim, of the Koisel, of the Bate Midroshim, of all that the Kedusha that there is and that remains there. Acha Kosleinu is the Shechina there. And all these points build a profile in a person. Maybe just one last point, which perhaps we can take away from sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av. Chofetz Chaim gave a moshel of a king who had a wayward son. And he decided the only way he could handle the son and deal with him is to send him away, and he sent him out of the city to work on a farm somewhere. The king was worried about how the son was doing. So the Chofetz Chaim, so the king came out to see how the son was doing. And he went to the son and asked him, "And how's everything doing there?" And the son turned around and said to the king, the father, "You know, Abba, he doesn't give me enough food in the morning. And he treats me harshly when I work sometimes. And the conditions of living here are not so wonderful." Said the king to the son, "Don't be so foolish. Don't you realize? In a short while, you'll be the king. Don't complain about silly, petty things. You're going to become the king one day. So don't complain about difficulties that you have now. It's all worth it, because later you'll take over from me and become the king." So the Chofetz Chaim, that's the pshat of Urei Betuv Yerushalayim. There are difficulties. There are things which aggravate a person. Oh, but in the end, when the Mashiach comes, and we see the light behind it all, and the nobility of an Am Segula Mikol HaAmim, and a Mamleches Koyanim, and everything gets changed because we were careful from Hesach HaDas in Torah. We looked after the Torah like Truma and Kedusha. We didn't treat it like Chulin. We treated Torah with tender, loving care. Loirak al Ozva Mes Toirosi, the actual Limud at Torah, which perhaps according to Rav Matisyahu is in some way repaired in our times. people are devoted to Torah. Aber v'lo holchu bo is the whole demus of a Yerushalmi, of changing our ways in sensitivity and caring and encouragement and enormous respect. By nature, a Yerushalmi is a sadlan, because he's standing waiting there. He's waiting for the time. He knows what's going to happen shortly. He will omed bahamtana until the time comes when the shofar sounds and everything changes. But until then, perhaps that's the area of tikkun of a givara and Yerushalmi for the whole fulbar on El Tisha B'Av.
So this is about the